I'll be talking about a project that we did where we were tracking some DDoS botnets and how we did it, how we set up the lab to do that, and our findings. I wrote the paper together with Torsten Holtz, who's not here today. So some thoughts on what on DDoS in today's internet landscape. So with internet affecting so many different things, so many services that we use every day in our life, the instruments to bring down websites with the DDoS, there's like two main ones. Botnets, so that's used by cybercrime to bring down websites. And then you have hacktivism, where you have volunteers that use tools like the tool that was mentioned in the talk before, the Loic tool. So what are the attack technologies? In this case, you can attack these services on multiple layers. What we often see is the application layer, so a web service will get attacked on layer 7 and not on the transport layer or on the network layer, so there will be an actual web request, an HTTP request sent to that server to overpower that that server running, so the application, and not on the network level, because that's much faster. What are the impacts of service downtime for a business that's internet-centric? That's revenue loss. Every minute that a website is down, that's revenue loss. And if a business is doing 100% of the revenue on the internet, that means you basically don't make any money. If your business is information, if you want to like show information, bring out information, then basically a DDoS means silence. You're silenced for a certain time, and you can't like tell other people your ideas. So here's some motives that we found while looking into like underground forums, why people were doing DDoS attacks. One was blackmail the operators, so they would bring down a website to and then send an email that said, pay this amount of money or your website will be down until you pay it. It's to disrupt the competition. That means there's DDoS for rent services that, for example, one web shop could rent to bring down his competitor for some time. That also means that cybercrime itself tries to bring down its competition. So one botmaster could try to bring down another botnet by overpowering the botnet CNC. Or even we saw even malicious attacks. I'll show that in detail later. Disrupt adversaries. That's in this case with cybercrime, we saw that that people's web pages or services were brought down in the IT security community. So they were basically silenced. It's used to manipulate services. And last but not least, political protest. That goes more into the direction what I was saying with the volunteer attacks, but not so much for the botnet DDoS attacks. So here's an overview of our malware lab that we used to automatically monitor DDoS, the DDoS bots, the DDoS botnets. We used the VirusTotal service to obtain malware samples of a certain botnet family according to the AV detection names. We stored them in a database. Then we were sending them to a behavior sandbox. This behavior sandbox was connected to the internet, but not directly, but through a protection proxy gateway. This proxy had to do two things. The first thing was to hide where we were coming from, so we were cycling with a VPN service that had, I think, 60 different nodes worldwide, so we were cycling through all these IPs. We're changing, constantly changing the IPs we were coming from. And the second thing was, so we're running DDoS malware. So what would happen if you run DDoS malware, even if you just run it for a minute or five, you would see the CNC traffic, yes, but you would also participate in a DDoS attack right away if after infecting this machine. Pretty simple solution. We added a proxy that forced caching, so it would only query every web page once. So if there's a web page that's attacked, we would actually query this web page once, and for the consecutive queries, we wouldn't. We would just block it at the proxy. So after running this this malware in the sandbox, all the while we captured the network traffic. We then send that that captured network traffic to our database, and we parse out the traffic that looks like the botnet CNC traffic, and we feed it to an emulated bot. I'll show you for this example, for this bot and how this emulated bot works in a second. So this emulated bot then, without running that bot in a sandbox again, we can just query the CNC server and get the commands, the DDoS commands, the websites that should be attacked. So what we're focusing on is the Dirt Jumper botnet. It's a popular crimeware kit. It's the successor of the Ruskill botnet. It was first sold in underground forums, and then it was, at some point in time, it was leaked. So it's basically pirated in underground forums. You can get it downloaded for free. And there's several versions in here. What was interesting for us to get this emulated bot, it has unencrypted CNC traffic. This is the panel, the control panel of Dirt Jumper version 3. I have this running, as I said, it was leaked. So I downloaded this, tried some tests on a local VM. I actually never started this DDoS attack. I just wanted to put in some URL in here. Pretty simple configuration. You put in the URL you want to attack. Then you put in a number of flows. Flows actually refers to the number of threads that run on the client. So if you put in 50, there will be 50 threads created that all at the same time try to do HTTP GET requests for this URL. And then there's four different attack types. So how does the CNC traffic look like for Dirt Jumper? It's a simple HTTP post. What's interesting is the payload down here. It's a bot ID. If you try to just get this web page, you will not get the commands. Only if you send an argument k with you can take a random number, whatever number, then you will get the actual DDoS attack command back from the server. Interesting part here as well, the HTTP response payload. It first has three number fields. The first one would be the attack mode. The second one would be the number of flows or threads. The third one would be the timeout for the victim, for the infected machine to ask the CNC server for new commands in seconds. This would be 60 seconds. So every 60 seconds, this client would ask again about new victims. And then you just follow this with, here it's just one victim, one URL that I put in here. You could have multiple victims in here. So we did this monitoring over 4 months, and our malware sample set was over 450 samples of Dirt Jumper. We're running them, or these malware samples, the 465 were identified by AV as Dirt Jumper. While running them in the sandbox, we could extract 274 that showed exactly these Dirt Jumper patterns, so the post with one argument, the K argument. So they were showing Dirt Jumper CNC traffic. From that, we could extract 68 unique CNC URLs. Of those CNC URLs, when we tried them in the emulated bot, which basically does a post with a K argument, 35 responded at least once. And all this monitoring, we saved all the victim URLs, so the CNC, the DDoS commands from the CNC, and we got over 1,900 unique URLs that were attacked. Looking at the CNC lifetime, so how long could we actually look at those CNCs before they were taken down? There were actually three CNCs that were alive over the whole 4 months, and we see that about 50% of the servers were alive for 10 days, so we have a pretty good idea for these CNCs what they wanted to attack. Looking at the victims, so what services were attacked? I was talking about internet-centric services. Over 85% of the victims were attacked on their HTTP ports with HTTP URLs. Second largest was MySQL, and then there's a lot of services that are around all that FTP, HTTPS, some alternate HTTP services, PPTP, so VPN services, and some mail services. Then I was actually taking the URLs that we had, and since WebSense, the company that I'm working for, has products that try to categorize your web traffic based on URLs, I was throwing these URLs at this the classifiers, and was looking at what these websites of the victims actually were doing. And this is a small word cloud to show like what were the categories that these victims were in. So we see the biggest are shopping, gambling, sex, hacking. So these guys were actually using botnets to attack hacking forums, which are basically at WebSense. That is kind of a big field, but takes in all the underground forums. We see in there malicious, so they were actually targeting websites that were serving malicious content, so like exploit kits. So one botnet was trying to bring down a web server that was serving an exploit kit. And one thing that is relatively small in here, but was pretty interesting, is financial, because that's where the money is, right? Pretty straightforward. Looking into financial services, I found 17 online banking portals and 9 online stock brokerage portals. One of those I name here because they actually admit it, yes.
Do you have any insight if any of these attacks are effective? Did they actually disrupt any of those sites?
Effective as in they brought down the site?
Right.
Yeah. So in this example, they reportedly went down for 4 days. That's E-Trade, the Australian E-Trade part. So I think it doesn't have anything to do with the American E-Trade. They split it off at some time and then another bank bought it. But it's basically the E-Trade in Australia. For them, I can say that they went down for 4 days, just before Christmas in 2011. So we were actually thinking about when we see a victim at that time, when we see the attack, to probe if we could reach that website. Problem with that is that it's pretty one-sided. So you could only for yourself, like from your view, say if you could reach this website. When you have an ongoing DDoS that really depends at what time you query that website, you could be one of the lucky users that gets a response, or you don't get a response. So in the end, and on top of that, you add to the DDoS when you also try to query these websites that are totally exhausted. So we thought we wouldn't do that. Does that answer the question?
So how did you determine that the site was unavailable
for 4 days? Oh, they were admitting that. There was, and this is because I didn't want to name any of the victims normally, but there was like a big newspaper article about that. So this is basically one of the victims that openly admitted that there was, yes? I know that for two attacks that I'll talk about, that was partially, but in the first time before they actually started to mitigate the attacks, it was successful. Okay. Here's another breakdown of the attack length that we're seeing. About one third of the attacks only lasted up to 1 hour. This is speculation, but one thing, if we see this is motivated by blackmail, it could be that it's like the sign to show, okay, we can bring down your site for 1 hour, and if you don't pay until tomorrow, we'll bring it down for a longer time. I was talking about two other victims. One was the malware service VirusTotal that actually we were using to obtain the samples. It was hit by a DirtJumper botnet. In this heat map, you see all these unique IP addresses. We've heard in the talk before that you shouldn't be counting IP addresses here. I just put them in a heat map. Shows pretty good that, although I don't know if it's unique bots, but it's mostly Russia, Russian-based was attacking Virus Total for, I think, 10 days. Another attack against adversaries of the underground, Crabs on Security, pretty popular blog, was hit by a different Dirt Jumper botnet, which is geographically in different countries, mostly India, and a little bigger than the one before. That was 3 or 4 days of DDoS. And as I mentioned before, come back to that question, so these guys were able to bring down or get Crabs on Security into problems for the first day until Brian Krebs then got into this and worked with the ISP to mitigate this attack. So conclusion, DDoS malware is readily available. There are crime packs that you can buy, that you can download, pirate in the underground. But we saw that DDoS monitoring helped us to gather some insights into the ongoing attacks. And we saw that these botnets are actually used as monetization strategies by cyber criminals for blackmail. They can ruin internet-centric businesses, just going back to that E-Trade example. If you can't sell your stock for 4 days, that's pretty severe, and you might lose a lot of customers. And one very interesting fact that actually the cyber criminals use DDoS botnets to attack other cyber criminals and adversaries in the IT security community. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, so you mentioned the cyber criminals were attacking some of the banks and
yes.
brokerage sites. Do you know what's their motivation? Is it really blackmail or?
Yes, in these cases, I was talking to some people that investigated these attacks. Actually, some of the people that I didn't count up here in the acknowledgments that were investigating the attacks, and they told me that these banks were actually blackmailed. Yeah.
I thought they might also be successful in if during those 5 days they send out spam mails telling users that, you know, like E-Trade scan, like log into E-Trade2.com instead. They might be good at phishing as well.
I don't have any knowledge about that. Okay.
So we've heard a lot that the attacks are changing, the landscape is changing, but I just had to listen to your talk. I had a flashback to about, I guess, Hotbots 5 years ago, where the study seems to, you know, in my mind, bring out nothing new from what we've seen in the last several years. So do you mind stating what do you think were the insights here, how things are different than in the past, or is this much of the same old stuff? What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
So what I think, for example, changed from 5 years ago is that people are using the internet for different things, and that actually it's more crucial when you bring down something that everybody uses in their everyday lives, then you can actually, you have more leverage on them. And there's businesses that totally rely on a functioning web server, their web service. They're 100% internet-centric, shopping website or whatever. So you, if you bring them down with the DDoS, that's like killing them.
Yes.
Yes, but back then the underground didn't really see that potential for that. You know, just as we heard that in other talks today, it's more about monetization and really like to press out the money.
Sanjeev Agarwal from Adara Media. Mm-hmm. My question is pretty quick. You mentioned all these sites that were down for several days. Can you give some more information why it took so long to take care of it?
Why it takes so long to take care of
that? Yeah, in these particular cases.
Oh, it totally depends on like how large a business is, like how much how technical they are, and they might be a small internet shop that that only has one web server and doesn't have any idea of what would hit them, and they first need to seek help. Need to get to the right people to get help in that case of DDoS. Does that answer the question?
My question was on the technical side, there was a technical issue that it took us so long to
take
care
of. That's more going into how would you mitigate that, and we totally we didn't look into that problem. Yes. Okay.
All right. Any let's thank Armin again.